In John Irving's book, A Prayer for Owen Meany, the narrator John Wheelwright remembers how his best friend in childhood, Owen Meany, once told him that he hated Palm Sunday. Owen said, "The treachery of Judas, the cowardice of Peter, the weakness of Pilate. It's bad enough that they crucified him," Owen said, "but they made fun of him too." Years after Owen Meany said this, John Wheelwright, as an adult, attends church on Palm Sunday, and he remembers Owen's words. And Wheelwright reflects, and I quote, "I find that Holy Week is draining. No matter how many times I have lived through his crucifixion, my anxiety about his resurrection is undiminished. I am terrified that this year it won't happen. That year it didn't. Anyone can be sentimental about the Nativity. Any fool can feel like a Christian at Christmas. But Easter is the main event." Unquote. These words resonate with me. Christmas offers us ready-made, beautiful images. We have sheep and shepherds, angels singing God's praises in the night sky, a newborn baby, the cow, the ox, and those three kings from the east. Holy Week has no such tender images. It really is difficult to sentimentalize this week. And it is a draining week, one that is complicated, that is emotional, that is demanding. It has gruesome and sometimes ugly images and includes terrible hatred and violence. And it is in this gruesome reality that today we enter into this most sacred and solemn and demanding week of the entire year. For in Holy Week, we participate in those sacred mysteries by which our salvation was won for us. This is a week when time itself seems suspended. In these days, the past, the present, the future are all caught up in God's time. The boundaries of time and space seem blurred. All time, all things belong to God, and every moment reveals God's plan of salvation for humanity. In these holy days, we walk with Jesus as he journeys to the suffering and the pain of the cross. The experience of Holy Week is an anticipation of the final consummation of time itself, when we will enter into eternity, coming to dwell with God, seeing God face to face. We just read the traditional Passion Gospel according to Luke, and each year as we read the Passion, I'm struck by the full display of human behavior and emotions that are contained there. There are the disciples who struggle to understand what is happening to Jesus. They seek to be faithful as they accompany him through these horrific moments. They promise they will be with him. Peter assures Jesus he will never deny him. And yet, as so often happens with our best intentions, the disciples do exactly what they promised they wouldn't. Peter denies Jesus not once, but three times. And most of the men abandon Jesus. In the Passion Gospel, we also see deceit, betrayal. Judas, one of the 12 apostles, hands Jesus over to the authorities for some pieces of silver. And he betrays Jesus with a kiss. This intimate gesture of close relationship used by Judas for evil purposes. And I can't help but wonder how it must have hurt Jesus. And then there are Pilate, the religious authorities. They're fearful of Jesus. They're concerned about holding on to their power, their positions. And so they view Jesus as a threat. They fear his call to love and humility. They won't allow compassion and mercy to convert their hearts to Jesus' way of love. So they try Jesus in a mock trial and they hand him over for crucifixion. And then there's the example of the women. They have journeyed with Jesus. They provide for Jesus and his disciples during his public ministry. And they are present at the cross. They follow his body to the tomb. These women embody faithful, loving service. Service done not for their gain, but for love of Jesus. And on the third day, they will be the first witnesses of the resurrection. And then above all this, there is Jesus, who behaves so differently from the others. He embodies hope. He rises above the fray. He lives in a wholly different way. In his Palm Sunday sermon called The Things That Make for Peace, Frederick Buechner says this week is about hope, the hope we see in Jesus, and it's also about despair. It is about the hope we see in Jesus in the present and for God's being with us in the difficult times, as well as despair for humanity's actions for our rejection of God's saving love. Buechner says this, and I quote, "Despair and hope, they travel the road to Jerusalem together, as together they travel every road we take. Despair at what in our madness we are bringing down on our own heads, and hope in him who travels the road with us and for us, and who is the only one of us all who is not mad. Hope in the King who approaches every human heart like a city. And it is a very great hope as hopes go, and well worth all of our singing and dancing and sad little palms, because not even death can prevail against this King. And not even the end of the world, when it does, will be the end of him and of the mystery and majesty of his love. Blessed be he." Unquote. Throughout the Passion Gospel, Jesus embodies that hope. He is largely silent. He does not respond to the taunts heaped on him. He doesn't lash out under the pain and agony of the whip or the cross. He loves. He forgives. He forgives even those who hate and kill him. And in his love, he invites all people, those present with him then, all of us now, so many centuries later, to follow in his way of love. Jesus welcomes all in the way that he goes, where love is strong enough to sustain in times of great challenge, of suffering, and of loss. Jesus invites us to love so strong that even the evil of sin, the hold of death, are no match. The powers of this world, the powers of death itself, cannot hold love in its grip. The tomb cannot hold love for very long. The promise of Palm Sunday is that whatever may be before us, whatever may befall us in this life, we have hope in Jesus who has experienced it before us. Whatever we might suffer, we know that Jesus has suffered. Whatever griefs we know, Jesus has known. Whenever we feel alone, abandoned, Jesus has felt this. When we despair that God feels absent from us, Jesus felt this as well. And the death that we will face, as all people do, we know Jesus has already endured. The promise of Holy Week is that Jesus is truly and utterly God with us, Emmanuel, the one who enters into the fullness of human life. Jesus knows all the trials and the difficulties that we experience in this life. And from the cross, Jesus assures us that he is with us always, that he walks beside us, that he supports and comforts us, and he invites us to walk in his way of love. A way that no doubt is not easy, that does not insulate us from difficulty and suffering, but a way that is the path of true life. May we journey this week in company with ages past and with all those who will come after us, walking in the present with Jesus the journey of this week, walking in His way of love. And may we open our hearts to Jesus, who desires to enter into our lives just as He entered into the city of Jerusalem more than 2,000 years ago. May we enthrone Jesus in our hearts as our King of love, our hope in despair. I close with a poem by Edith Williams. Jesus, so lowly, child of the earth, christen me holy, bring me new birth. Jesus, so lonely, weary, and sad, teach me that only love maketh glad. Jesus, so broken, silent, and pale, be this the token, love will not fail. Jesus, victorious, mighty, and free, teach me how glorious death is to be.